Your package says delivered, but delivered where exactly? The hallway? The lobby? Your neighbor's apartment? Instead of playing detective with your deliveries, get a mailbox at the UPS store. We'll sign for your packages, text you when they arrive, and keep your deliveries low-key under lock and key. Get 3 months free mailbox services with a new annual agreement at the UPS store. For full details and to get your coupon, visit the upsstore.com/offer.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry's out, using up all of his vacation, so Nick is in. That means that Tyler's in for Nick, and it's Tyler, Nick, and Joel till 4 o'clock, till we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jung, and the Blitz. As we have had another spiritedly good show, as we had Sigmund Bloom, Kevin McHale, talk basketball, talk football. Obviously not a whole lot of baseball to talk about these days, college basketball, which bores everybody to death. But an upset last night as a top five ranked team, University of North Carolina, beat by Wofford by 4, as that was a upset. Where would you guys be on this? I don't know how I feel about this. I don't think I'd be very welcoming to it. But Stephen F. Austin lost a heartbreaker last night to Missouri. And Missouri was a pretty highly touted school. They came in 9-2. They had one of the number one recruits in the country who's not going to play for them because of a back injury, and he's going to go to the NBA. But Stephen F. Austin hung tough, lost 82-81. That's fine and dandy, right? But after the game, Quanzo Martin, the coach of Missouri, asked if he could speak to the Stephen F. Austin team and coach Kyle Keller. And he came in, and he basically said, I never do this, and I know you're mad and you're upset, and you should be, because you're a talented team. You should be pissed off because you're on the same level as us. And then he went on to compliment them. And then he said he's never done anything like this before in his life, but he felt that it was the right thing to do and necessary, and he walked out.
I guess he softened the blow a little bit. It wasn't as egregious, I guess, as Coach K's last year or the year before when he went into the opposing team.
He had to apologize after the Grayson Allen crap.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're for Coach K going into the other locker room.
Coach K, I'm for that, and he also set up a meeting between...
I don't know if the other coach appreciated it, though.
But Allen had to apologize. He made him do that. I think that's part of the learning process with something like that. This one, to me, if I lose a one-point game, and I'm pissed off and thinking about all the things we could have done differently to try and get that win, you know, I'm competing. I just got done in a heated battle competing against your squad. I appreciate the effort, but then you can do that in the media. If you really want to just say, hey, they, you know, the coach and the team played a great game, just do it in the media at the press conference. I don't need you in my locker room.
Because I think it's an attention grab. It automatically looks like an attention grab when you go to the other locker room. You could say all those nice things. I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, there's going to be a podium. The coaches have to speak. A game like that that's that close, they're probably going to have him speak for 4, 5, 6 minutes. There's plenty of good that he can say in that 4 or 5 minutes at the podium. So I don't know that much about the Missouri coach in terms of his personality. And
well, he's an ex-player.
Whether or not he wants the spotlight, but I just don't.
Tyler, where are you at in all of this?
I'd kind of agree with Nick. Just you have a platform already to be able to speak and give praise if you want to. And I don't know that personally addressing those kids is kind of helping at that point, you know?
Especially if you know cameras are in there, because obviously it's on social media and the speech is on there too.
They're going to have photographers and everybody kind of following the team. So I saw pictures of it too. I didn't see the video.
Oh, the whole video's out there. I mean, I can retweet it, but yeah, it's definitely... There is video out there of the entire speech that he gives to the
and I get it can be kind of emotional for some of these kids, you know, like especially if they're not going to play again the following year, if they're seniors, and you know, you can always pull someone aside, especially if you have a player that you competed against and you really believe he's going to do something in the NBA or you think he has a chance, maybe pull him aside and say, look, man, you lost. but you've got a great future ahead of you. There's a lot of good things that can come of this. I just looked at the scores. With that win, they both are now 10-2. So, yeah, I can see how that bothers people. That could bother you if you're Stephen F. Austin.
By the way, I retweeted the video.
My sister went
speech
to Stephen F. Austin, so I know.
So, at Pac-Man Joel, I retweeted the speech from Quanzo Martin, but getting mixed reviews. Some people called it classy, and other people thought it was a bit over the top. And then there was this one that I also wanted to bring up for you guys. I had it the other day. But in the never-ending saga of the NCAA having the worst rules and in rules enforcement and all the crap that goes with it, I don't know if you saw this or not, but this top high school football recruit went on his official visit to Ohio State when Ohio State had game day in town. And in the process of being shown around the campus and prior to the game, his official escort for the, not a female, but his official escort from the coaching staff showing him the campus and showing the recruits what's going on, takes him over to the college game day stage. And Kirk Herbstreit, an ex-Buckeye, Eddie George, an ex-Buckeye, they're there. So is Lee Corso. So during the course of a commercial break, they all take selfies with the kid. They all meet the kid. They're all talking to the kid. And now all of a sudden Ohio State finds out that it's against NCAA rules to have any interaction with that like that where media members. So it's not even really Herbstreit from being an alum or Eddie George, but the fact that they're now media members.
Well, yeah, and I think they gave him a media pass or a sideline pass. So
that seems kind of shady,
like,
too.
Not necessarily shady, but obviously, like, I think that's a violation of the rules. Or it definitely is. Like, why just letting recruits come and hang out down on the field? Like,
so here's how it's spelled out. It says that per the archaic bylaws of the NCAA, as it relates to recruiting, a recruit can hang out with former players, in the case of Herbstreit and Eddie George, but because the player met Herbstreit and George while they were working as members of the credited media, this was a violation, and the confusing rule is exactly worded like this. As such, a violation of NCAA bylaws, and you don't need the numbers, occurred as members of the media may not be present during an institution's recruiting contact with a prospect, and a prospect may not participate in team activities that would make the public or the media aware of his visit to the school. You know all the time when a big-time recruit is at a UT game or at an Alabama game. And I mean, all these different recruiting services on the web are reporting when players are making their official visits. To me, it's just an archaic rule that just is totally ridiculous. And subsequently, because of the fact that Ohio State had to report it, they've also pulled back and said, we won't recruit the kid anymore. Kid. Yeah.
But hopefully, I mean, he doesn't change his mind. I think he probably was already going there at that. I don't think he was a commit, but he may or may not be a lock to go to that school, but I don't know.
Now, since then, Herbstreit's come out and basically said that, you know, the whole thing is just ridiculous. He didn't do anything wrong.
To him, it's ridiculous because he wants the school to get the recruit.
Sure, but ironically, he's also the guy that got into it with an Ohio State recruit during the last recruiting process because the kid on Twitter took a picture and said, hey, I'm loving my visit, you know, this past weekend at the OSU game, but they need to put in my bro, which was the backup quarterback at the time for Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins Jr., who actually played a little bit this year, instead of continuing with JT Barrett. And Herbstreit chimed in and says on Twitter, can someone get a memo to all recruits in every school? Keep quiet. Worry about their own teams. It's not a good look for these guys. And then said, spoken like a guy who's never been in a locker room, trying to help them avoid issues on their future team, not to mention their place. In which case, the recruit said, pretty sure I wouldn't have any problems in Dabo Swinney or Clay Helton's locker room if I shared my opinion on OSU's quarterback issues. And he subsequently signed with Clemson.
Speaking of Dabo, I think he told a recruit that, did you hear about how he told the recruit about Urban Meyer?
I saw something about it, but I didn't read it.
He basically told the recruit, he's like, oh, Urban's on the tail end of his career. He may or may not be back next year, the year after, and that he was trying to get the recruit, and I think the recruit committed to Clemson.
Wow. But you know what? It's just like anything else. We've talked about this even from AAU, but all kinds of recruiting these days, it's such a cutthroat business these days. coaches are going to say and do whatever they need to do to make sure that they get that name signed on the dotted line. And the thing that's ironic to me, too, is you constantly see where a kid gives a verbal, or the kid's verbally committed. And Jimbo Fisher's guilty of doing this because he's been doing it over the last 2 weeks. Now that he's at A&M, he knows the kids that have given verbals but are still not committed on the dotted line. And he goes and puts a full court press on them to try and get them to change their minds. So many things that I saw yesterday on ESPN when they were doing all the commitments for the top 300 were guys that switched gears midstream and decided to change their mind last minute and go to a different school. U of H lost one yesterday. I was telling Nick, Cougar alum, they lost a quarterback prospect from here in Houston that decided to go to Syracuse and flipped on him.
Yeah, that was weird. That was a shocker to me. I had no idea. But I didn't know that much about the quarterback either. So, I mean,
for once, Charlie Pulillo has something to talk about with Syracuse and football.
Go into broadcast media.
Yeah, they do got that broadcast school up there.
Lord knows there'll be openings at 6:10 when they get out of school. All right, so we're going to continue to roll on. We'll take a quick break, then we'll get back with more. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Man, this Tyler guy, he's getting all kinds of love on Twitter because of his selections.
I was just going to say, like, it's okay. Like, it doesn't bother me if Tyler plays, like, better rock music. But when he plays better, like, and I don't know if this is a hip-hop track, but hip-hop music, that aggravates me. I'm jealous. And then Dr. Dre never stops giving him love. Like, Dr. Dre, shut up. Shut up, Dr. Dre.
For Christmas, Tyler, I think Dre got you a jar of petroleum jelly. But he, I don't know if he wants to partake or he's just trying to be in the festive spirit.
Hard pass on that.
I see what you did there with a hard pass, though.
Nick, go ahead and run the jewels to your repertoire.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's who that last track was.
There you go.
Run the jewels. I mean,
again, that didn't, after a hard pass, you're going to run the jewels. I mean, that just sounds like things you guys do on weekends. I don't know that I want to get involved in all that. Skip wants to get in here, by the way. He wants to talk about Quanzo Martin, who went into the Stephen F. Austin locker room after that game the other night. Skip, what's up?
Skip. Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing, man?
All right. Hey, two things. First of all, if I was younger, a little bit taller, faster, and could catch, I would definitely play for Sweeney down at Clemson. I love that guy.
Okay.
But with the basketball coach, I think it's kind of weighted a little bit, because if a Hall of Fame coach, you know, like say if you lost 1 point to North Carolina and Dean Smith came into the locker room, you know, and said, hey, you guys played a good job, you know, a good game, you know, whatever. I would kind of feel like, hey, you know, Dean Smith said that we're a good team, or Coach K said that we're a good team, you know. But if, you know, the head coach from Tennessee Vocational Community College came in and told us that, I'd be like, I don't really care what this guy thinks, and who is this guy?
Yeah, I see your point. I mean, if Krzyzewski or Roy Williams or – you know, you go up and down the list. Bill Self, if they walk into a locker room after a game and say, hey, guys, good job. I mean, I think that a lot of kids would think that's cool, because a lot of times your only interaction is you play a game against their team and you may shake their hands when they don't even want to be out there after a game. You know, they just want to get to the locker room and do their thing. That at least you can – I totally agree with you that they singled you out for, you know, giving them a game. And in the case of Roy Williams last night, he probably didn't have to go into Wofford's locker room to let them know that they just beat the number five team in the country by 5 points. So it's a good point. I appreciate it, Skip. Good stuff right there. Definitely something kind of you alluded to, Nick, too. Krzyzewski did it last year, but that was over different circumstances when Grayson Allen went off the deep end and made Grayson Allen apologize.
I don't know if Grayson Allen is going to act the way I guess he hasn't come up in headlines, at least the way he was last year. He probably learned a little bit from last season.
He's changed, but he had to come back because of it. I mean, look.
He's still a Duke player, so he's going to be hated regardless.
Sure, but financially, think about that. financially, if he doesn't do the things that he did, he would have been a first-round pick, just like Denard was from Michigan, which was the other guard from Duke. He probably, in his first year, makes $3-5 million a year, plus his endorsement deal, shoes, whatever it is. He now had to come back to Duke for another year and forfeit all of that just to try and clean up his reputation so that he can get drafted this year and hope that people will say that he's turned the corner.
The reason why it's so scary to make a mistake like that is because, especially when you're a college basketball player and you're trying to make that transition into the NBA, when you make a mistake, you're making a mistake in a very small window. And so you have that small window to capitalize on an opportunity. The last thing you want to do is make a big mistake like that and hurt your draft stock. And this happens across all sports. I mean, you see it happen in college football. Even when the player doesn't do anything wrong, stock has a lot to do with your draft, with your value.
Reputation.
Look at Matt Barkley was, a relatively clean-cut guy. Stock was really high at USC, decided to make a return. Everybody loved him for it. But the following year, he was like basically a non-topic when it came down to the quarterback draft class.
It's like anything else. You got to strike when the iron's hot. When everybody's talking about you, regardless of how much fun you've had in college, you can always go back and get your degree. But you've got to put risk versus reward and realize, you know, it's like everybody that criticizes, and I've said this for a long time, people criticized Kwame Brown when he came out. He was the number one pick in the draft. People found out after he got picked number one in the draft by Michael Jordan and the Wizards that he wasn't even close to the player that everybody thought he was going to be. But in the process, he made all the money, collected all the millions of dollars. Had he gone back to school like a lot of people were telling him to do, and then when people found out he was perpetrating a fraud and he really wasn't as good as everybody was billing him out to be, he may have never made a fraction of the millions of dollars that he made. So for all those cases and more and all those reasons and more, he made the right decision. Everybody can say, well, he came out too soon. Did he? Because while he came out too soon and he was exposed from the standpoint of playing in the NBA, he made a boatload of money that he wouldn't have made otherwise.
Yeah, I think he got drafted in 2001. I believe the 2012-2013 season was his last season. So he ended up playing for, 11 years?
So he bounces around. But for those other teams, he was probably playing for the veterans minimum. But before that, they restructured all the salary cap and the signing of first-round picks, as the number one pick in the NBA draft, he made a boatload of money he wasn't going to make, and it wasn't the NBA minimum, by coming out and being the first overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to that situation, especially when you know your worth, because let's be honest, they don't say it all the time, but like there might be a player that knows they could probably get the contract, but no, they're not going to be that much of an impact on an NBA team. I mean, you've talked about it. You don't have to throw anybody on the bus, but you talked about Rockets players that played and you knew that even if they lost that playoff series, they were getting paid regardless and they really didn't care. And that might be a situation. I mean, there's a lot of, like, I'm not mad at that player. I get it, but, you know, especially if you're trying to. So here, I'm looking at it right now. I was trying to find his salary. He's made $63.9 million over the course of his career, according to basketballreference.com, which is a pretty reliable website. His last paycheck was $2.9 million in the 2013-2014 season. The most that he's ever made, he was actually playing for the Memphis Grizzlies. 07-08 made $9 million. The second most he's ever made, $8.2 million for the Lakers the previous season. So the guy's made some money.
Yeah, he made some money. But
don't know if he's invested it well.
Those first couple years with the Wizards, though, that's money he never would have made. And he probably wouldn't have made all those future millions if people found out how bad he was.
Yep, $3 million, $3.6, $3.9, $4.2, and $5.3. Those are the first 4 years with Washington.
So
I'm doing that.
Almost $15, $20 million he made that people were telling him, pass that up, go back to school.
Nope.
Not going to happen. All right, Lenny, we see you. We're going to get you on the flip side, get you on some recruiting talk. We've got a half hour to go in the big show. We're going to take a break. Then Tyler, Nick, and I will take you up till 4. Then Jong, AJ, and Fred will take you with the Blitz home till 7. That's the way we do it right here on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're back on The Usual Suspects. You've been listening to the show. We started teasing it from the very tip-top of the program to let you know at some point during the show today, we're going to give away tickets to the Harlem Globetrotters on January the 27th at NRG Arena. It's on a Saturday. It's a great opportunity to take your kid to what has always been a fantastic experience with a lot of fun and games and basketball. I've been going to Globetrotters games since I was a kid with my parents. And I know how fun Globetrotter games can be. Trey is the intern, so therefore, to make it fair to Trey and make sure that he actually does some work today.
Caller number 187.
We're going to take caller number 50.
Dang!
At 713.
I was just kidding.
No, Tyler said 50. He wanted to see Trey work, so Trey's going
to
work.
He's going to have to put that drink down.
He just gave you the finger.
Did he? Who, yeah. Me?
Tell him it was your idea to go caller number 50.
No, he goes, it was your idea to do 50. I was like, yeah. And he gave me the finger.
He gave it to you. That's fine, then. I'm good with that. All right. So caller number 50, 713-780-3776. You're going to get to have a very brief interaction with the legendary intern, Trey, as he counts them down. But caller 50 gets two tickets to the Globetrotters on the 27th of January. Please do not call in if you can't use them. We want someone to get these tickets and make good use
for
of
real.
Them.
And actually, sure. A lot of times when we do give out these giveaways, they're pretty honest. And they're like, you know what? I may not make it. The wife won't let me go. Whatever the case may be.
And we do find another winner in that case. And that's always helpful.
We do.
One other thing we wanted to mention. During the break, we just had Mo in here. He's a guy that wants to get involved in the big weight loss challenge that we're going to do, part of resolutions and the start of the new year on The Usual Suspects.
He seems all about it.
Great dude. Seems like he's going to be very focused. He's going to start really working with people and no charge to you in the early on. So it's going to be free of charge to get you on the right beaten path from everything from the way you eat and your diet to working out. That's the kind of thing that we wanted to do when we did this. It started out as just a casual conversation on the air, but we were very focused on if we're going to do this thing, we want to make it so that the listeners get something out of it and we can have some good success stories for you guys to get on the right beaten path. So we're on that. We're on in the right direction there. Crystal Collins tweeted yesterday.
She wants to be a part of it.
She's tired of being number one on your list in terms of your slump busters.
Of course you were going to mention that.
Yeah, so she said definitely, what do I do? And what's my deadline? I don't think we'll get the program going until after the new year, so probably not at the earliest. It'll be like the 2nd of January. But probably that first week of January we'll get going.
Yeah, and I want to say,
I want in on this. I need to lose some LBs.
Yeah, we're going to match you up against Trey.
Well, I'll win that. So by the way, if Trey cheats at the weight loss challenge, like he does at answering the phones, then
he cheats.
How's he cheating?
I bet you he goes, call a number 40, call a number 41. He just skips the number 40.
No, that's fine. He went, or that's okay, just like doing them rapid fire, but he went, caller number 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. Hey, you're caller number 50. He skipped 10 people.
Trey, if that's true,
that sounds
like
an intern
that you're going to have to answer
right
to. I'm just going to let you know. All right, so on top of everything else, we want to make sure it's still not too late to get involved in this weight loss challenge.
Yeah, you know the interest is there because the initial response, but not only that, the several days after the fact, the fact that people are – and we had another female interested yesterday. What was her name? She shares the same name as your sister.
Taylor. No, my sister Lynette.
Lynette called in, and now she wants to be a part of the show.
Yeah,
part of that
everybody
draft.
Keeps inquiring. So all we need is your vitals, you know, male or female, height, weight, age range. And so we can set you up because we're going to do some things to try and motivate people by pairing you up against other listeners to try and have some motivation and weekly competitions. And we'll have some prizes involved in that. So if we do this thing and do it right, it'll be beneficial to you and fun along the way. So hopefully that's what we are aiming to do. With that being said, we also have calls that are lining up aside from those that are trying to win Globetrotters tickets.
Lenny
has been waiting a while. Lenny, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
What up, man?
Hey, full disclosure, I am a huge Ohio State fan, so it's got to be taken with a little grain of salt, but we got crushed yesterday on that recruiting thing you were talking about. I think we lost 3 5-stars and a 4-star to guys that flipped the day of the signing. And I'm not naive enough. I know Urban Meyer does it too. All the coaches try to recruit these guys up to the last minute. The question I had was the one kid, I don't know if his name is Woodby, from my 5-star defensive back in California. Ohio State's been on him for a couple years. He's been committed verbally since February. And USC, the hometown team, has been on him for a couple years. Florida State came in 8 days ago, and he signed with Florida State with a new coach. I just thought that was a little strange. I was wondering if you guys thought that there could be something fishy going on with that.
Well, I'll tell you this, Lenny. If you think that all recruiting is on the up and up, then obviously I've got some swampland to sell you in Florida. I mean,
No. I said he prefaced it.
Yeah. And you know, everybody wants to think, well, in Texas they don't do things that way. But Jimbo Fisher's been pretty much in the public eye admitting, hey, I've got, you know, these handful of players that are five stars that have verbally committed to another university, but I still have a chance until they sign on the dotted line. I'm going to go try and backdoor it and try and, you know, get this kid to flip. And I'm with you because, like I said, I'm watching the crawl last night and seeing all the top 300 on the ESPN list of high school recruits. And I would say at least a quarter, if not a half of them, flipped before their final decision.
It's common.
Right.
I mean, you're going to – it's really common for that to happen too. I mean, it's sometimes there's one thing that one school has and you can flip them and never make that person change his mind ever again. So it's just a common thing. You can, especially when you're that and at that age, you know how indecisive I was at 18? Like,
yeah, but
I don't know what I want.
I know it's common. But my thought was this guy getting a call, you know, 8 days ago from Florida State on the smacks of Mississippi State a few years ago.
Well, here's what I was going to say too, Lenny. The other thing is they're almost hoping there's a coaching change. Because then it's a built-in excuse if they want to change their mind. Whether it's, you know, some other kids that they met at a five-star camp and suddenly, oh, they're going there and I'm going here, and boy, I wish I could get out of this thing. But a lot of times the coaching change is the reason why that they flip. And in certain cases, they're looking for the excuse because they probably jumped the gun and decided too soon. And I thought about that in a lot of these cases with these flips that I was watching yesterday. Hey, a kid probably, you know, committed to Jimbo at Florida State, and the minute that he jumped ship, they were looking for an excuse to get out of that deal. Now they got it.
Yeah, I mean, and if you really do want to get out of that deal, that's a perfect excuse, especially with Jimbo Fisher. I mean, but some players will follow a coach, and I imagine Jimbo did some of that. But in other cases, they realize once they've committed, they want to decommit or they don't want to go to that school anymore. So.
It'll be interesting to see what the final results are, but the top five, A&M was way down. Tom Herman was top five in recruiting as of yesterday, along with Georgia. Kirby Smart is doing a phenomenal job of stealing talent, where a lot of these guys that were flipping flipped from Alabama to Georgia. Georgia made a killing yesterday in terms of the early recruiting window, so they're doing very well. Alabama's obviously up there, but Ohio State and Georgia are up there as well. Auburn in the top 10. So the SEC continues to get strong, but Tom Herman was the story because he was in the top three, starting to get recruits for UT, and that's going to be interesting to see as it continues to take shape as the Longhorns get ready for the Texas Bowl.
Yeah, he's going to have to, because even with a guy like Tom Herman, who had such a big name when they signed him, even he has a window. And I imagine he has a decent leash. It's the University of Texas. I mean, there's a standard. So he's going to have to. So if he's doing well with recruiting, I mean, they might be in better shape. I always said Texas would probably be better the second year anyway, a lot better the second year.
Well, he's got to get his own players in there, right? Yeah. You know, and forget his little comment about pixie dust. And you know, he still, the cupboard wasn't bare, but they weren't his style of player that fit his system. So with his first real recruiting class to be in the top three is pretty impressive for Tom Herman as he tries to get that program back to prominence. So we've got one segment to go in the big show before we turn over to Fred, AJ Jong, and the Blitz. Therefore, we want you to participate. If you got anything that you still want to get off your chest, let us know. Otherwise, we'll wrap it up and put a bow on it. Next, this is The Usual Suspects. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Just one look at you, and I know it's gone.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects. Barry's on vacation. Nick in for Barry. Tyler in for Nick, so to speak. But we're all here on the air. Before we wrap things up and put a bow on it to turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz, Dante wants to get in here on Quanzo Martin, the Missouri coach, talking to the Stephen F. Austin team after the tough loss last night. What's up, Dante?
How you guys doing, man?
Good, man. What's up?
Love the show. Hey, man, I met Quanzo Martin about 1991-92 time frame. He's from East St. Louis, Missouri. Great guy. Was drafted by the Toronto in round two of in 1995. He was actually roommates with Big Dog. I'm friends with Big Dog. We all grew up together. We were all on the chitlin circuit together back when we were in high school trying to find a spot, trying to get out of where we grew up, using basketball as a vehicle. So Quanzo is not the type of guy to seek the spotlight. He was doing it because he is a mentor of young men. And I think what he did was more of an indictment against the system. Now, the system, there is no mid-majors. The mid-majors have caught up with the big schools now, and I think that's really what he was telling those guys. It's like, man, things have changed now. There's no such thing as a mid-major. If you look at how the tournament goes now, these mid-major teams like Stephen F., they're competing, man, and they're competing hard. And so I love Quanzo. I love what he stands for. I followed his career from Purdue, started at Southwest Missouri State, went from there to Tennessee, from there to Berkeley, and now he's at Missouri. He's actually gone home. So he's a good guy, a stand-up guy, and there's nothing malicious about what he did, man. He loves mentoring kids, and you'll never hear about him doing something illegal. He does it the right way, so my hat's off to that guy for just giving those gentlemen some encouragement, because there's so much negativity going on in the world these days.
Appreciate it, man.
It's kind of a breath of fresh air.
Thanks for the call, Dante.
Thanks, Dante. Have a good weekend. Happy holidays and all that. Yeah, no, we're not talking about whether he's a good guy or not. I'm just saying both sides of the spectrum, there are people that were questioning what his motive was for doing it. Appreciate the insight from Dante, who actually knows the guy. And I know I know of him, and I know his coach, both his playing and his collegiate career. But again, you know, we've had both sides even on the callers. As Dante gives you the pro Quanzo Martin, and the other caller called in and said, you know, if it's Coach K or, you know, someone like Roy Williams, it may mean something. But otherwise, these kids are probably pretty pissed off. They lost a one-point game where they could have been like Wofford, where they had actually upset a big-time program.
Yeah, I mean, there's a million ways you can look at it. But we appreciate the phone call. I mean, I'm sure everybody has their opinion about it. And I think you're not going to know how you would feel in that situation unless – you know, you're the player who has, you know, who, like I said, dealing with that small window and having to produce in that small window, trying to prove yourself. So,
well, before we wrap it up,
it looks like this Harden thing is resurfacing, the whole bouncer club, because there's another report now on Sports Illustrated, Moses Malone Jr. in the civil case.
Did you see what happened so far? The bouncer who, whether you believe James Harden was involved or not, but the bouncer who evidently tried to carry out and roughed up Moses Malone Jr. got sentenced to 35 years.
So Darian Blunt is the name of this bouncer. He's a 40-year-old. Apparently he ripped, according to the report, he ripped earrings,
the jewelry,
right off of Malone's ears. I didn't know Moses Malone's son was 38 years old, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. U of H and after Texas Tech, played a little hoop in college.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's
now there's two more still waiting trial. But if you look at that and you're the first guy to go down, now they say he was a repeat offender, that he'd roughed people up for money before. But the rumor is out there that he was paid like 20 grand to take care of Moses Malone Jr. and rough him up. But the fact of the matter was, because they said it wasn't his first time offense, he got 35 years. If I'm the two other guys and I'm waiting this thing out and I'm 27 and 26, which they are, I'm not really feeling too good about the fact that I could be spending the next 20, 30 years behind bars.
Which would tell me if it really was Harden, then he would point the finger. I mean, why would he be that loyal?
You don't know.
To
now,
Harden?
There might be a plea deal in place where they try and get him to roll.
I don't care if you're Michael Jordan. If I'm going to jail for 30 years, I'm throwing your ass under the
Man,
bus,
they
too.
Were trying to get his Harden's cell phone. They were trying to get the records, the texts. Supposedly, there's an Instagram or some kind of video chat with James in this deal.
I mean, not to take away from what happened, obviously, like, that's bad that this guy, that Moses Malone, got jumped and stuff stolen from him. But 35 years for that
seems
a little
excessive.
Excessive, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no. I mean, we could get into a long political discussion about how inconsistent judges and jurors are about punishment. But yeah, it does seem a little excessive. There's a lot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the rest of that trial plays out, and the fact that Rusty Harden representing Harden. I don't know if he's off the hook now, or if he's still being it's still being examined whether they're going to file charges against him because of the fact that I know for a while there they were putting the full court press on trying to get phone records, texts. Social media.
There's going to be some sort of appeal with all this.
Yeah.
But there's
and
so much.
That might reopen something.
So, yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see how it plays out. But it ain't going away anytime soon in terms of the people that were already incriminated for the action on Moses Malone Jr.
Christmas party tomorrow?
Yeah. So, tomorrow we're at Nick's place. Come on out and see us. Everybody's going to be there. It starts in the morning with John and Lance. They're going to be out at Klein's Jewelers. And then the rest of the day, the rest of the shows, Nick's Place from about 11 o'clock on, I believe. We'll all be at Nick's having some fun, lots of giveaways, spreading some cheer, food, beverage. Join us, won't you? For Nick, for Tyler, I'm Joel. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I was selling, the Master P was saying, Buck passed the It's G and the girls just wanna have fun. Coke and rum.
ESPN 97.5.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.